That's really good to know that these all are the basic foundation to start a healthy church. But as you were reflecting on some of the points, I have a couple of questions within that point. Like scriptural authority. As you were reflecting on that, I was thinking, what happens to the predominantly the illiterate community, people, those who can't read and write, how they will be equipped to understand the scriptural authority without their educational background?
Well, that's an excellent question, Dave, and is one that's very relevant, especially for South Asia, but really among people all over the world. We're learning that most of the remaining unreached people groups are primarily not literate. In their heart language, they don't read and write. And so here we are as evangelicals, we're a people of the book.
Yes.
And how do we, a people of the book, communicate that book to people who can't read? And what we're finding is that God is way ahead of us. He is already revealing His Word, revealing to us ways to communicate His Word to non-literate people. Let me give you a few examples. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've discovered is that people in a village who cannot read and write will occasionally get a letter from the government. Mm-hmm. And it may be a very important letter talking about taxation or property rights or some new decision that's been handed down from the central authority. And they don't simply cast that letter aside. They know they've got to know what the content is. So they'll find some child in that village who can read and write. That child may not understand all the big words, but they'll come forward and they will painstakingly work through every word of that letter and read it to the ruling council. In these villages, often a panchayat. As they read that information, the council leaders will discuss it. What does this mean? What are the implications for us? And based upon what they have now heard, they will make a decision. Well, we found that this actually happens in church planning movements as well. Sometimes there's a person in the group who can read. That person may or may not be an elder. They may be just a literate young person. But they'll read the pages of Scripture, and then everyone will discuss it. That's one of the ways we see this happen in non-literate villages. We've also seen a multiplication of stories.
Yes.
You know, in the New Testament times, they face similar situations. Jesus' audience oftentimes could not read and write. Consequently, He did not write anything down for them. Instead, He told them parables. He told them stories that to this day, 2,000 years later, we still remember in vivid detail. In the same way, our evangelist church planters will often take the stories of the Bible and they will make it small, short enough, memorable, with one or two very important teaching points, either for evangelism, discipleship, or leadership development. And they'll ask the hearers to repeat the story back to them and then to share it with someone else so the story is reinforced. What's exciting that we often see happen after we tell them a story, we'll watch, and within a few days, many of them have turned that story into a poem or into a song. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, the story takes on a life of its own because it's now reinforced with a certain rhythm, a certain cadence. And that story then gets passed on and communicated in a way that's not easily changed.
Yes.
And that's very encouraging to us to know that the Word becomes unchanging as it passes from person to person and even village to village.
That's right.